I'm Jeffrey DeMunn, and you're listening to The Walking Dead Girl.
Hello, everybody. This is Jasmine.
And this is Michael.
And I'm The Walking Dead Girl. You're listening to The Walking Dead Girl, episode 68. In this podcast, we review and discuss the hit TV show The Walking Dead from AMC. In addition to reviewing the TV episodes right after they air, we sometimes have interviews with special guests.
If you want to give us feedback on the show, you can send email to talkback@thewalkingdeadgirl.com. We love receiving email. Or you can go to our website, and there's a place where you can click and send us a voicemail. Feedback as well. We always play voicemail feedback on the show whenever we can. Our Facebook page is facebook.com/thewalkingdeadgirlpodcast. And also you can leave a comment on our website at the episode show notes, which is thewalkingdeadgirl.com/68. We routinely read feedback and comments on the show.
Before we get started, I want to remind you all that we will be discussing every gory detail about the TV show, so obviously there will be spoilers, so make sure you've watched the current episode before listening.
And this episode, at the top we heard Jeffrey DeMunn, who played Dale.
Mm-hmm, bringing some stuff back.
Some memories, mm-hmm. And that was from Walker Stalker Con Atlanta, where we met him, and he brought his RV.
Well, no, actually, wasn't no. His. No. No, he didn't take the RV.
He didn't bring his RV. No, it was James and
Eric
from
they
the
brought.
Walker.
Yeah, they brought. They made a van. They bought an RV, and then they souped it up to look just like the show.
Yeah, the RV from the show. Yeah,
and so they had photo ops with him with Jeffrey DeMunn right next to it. So that we did that, of course.
Yeah, we got photo ops with him, and he was a nice guy. He came just for the fans because mm-hmm. the fans wrote in and said, "Hey, we want to see you." And what do you think Dale would have done in this situation where everyone's down and depressed and everything?
I really do not see him alive in any of these later seasons. I think he died and the time he's supposed to die and served his purpose, even though it sounds really morbid.
Yeah.
But it's just like anybody who dies in the show, they die because they've served their purpose in the group. But if he was here, I just think he would be like what Michonne is doing now, you know, saying like, this isn't life. This isn't living, with his big eyes and eyebrows and everything.
You want to keep going like this?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't even know if he'll make it this far, honestly.
But they could definitely use his RV because, you know, walking on foot and all this stuff was... Mm-hmm. Now, you said last episode that, oh, it's about time. We want to see them struggle and stuff.
Yeah, I couldn't wait for this episode because I wanted to see them actually suffer and get back to the roots of the show. I mean, they're not going far from the roots of the show, but get back to what the apocalypse is like, mm-hmm. you know, really struggling. And there is a lot of walking involved, and there is just everyone trying to look for food and deal with dehydration. And I'm surprised they weren't as, you know, volatile to each other, you know, as angry as at each other. Because usually when you're hungry and you're suffering, you take your anger out on people.
Yeah.
But only a few people did, which is good, I guess. That means they're a really strong group. But it was really refreshing to see the whole group in one continuous shot.
Yeah. I liked this episode. It was okay. It wasn't my favorite, but I found that a lot of the messages in the episode were too in your face. I think.
You're too obvious?
Well, they were just hammering it like over and over again about, you know, not giving up and all this stuff.
Well, they did it in a lot of different ways. They said it in a lot of different... I feel like all the dialogue was just one giant quote, something you could put on your Facebook page. The whole thing, like the interactions are not very... The dialogue isn't very... They don't say a lot.
Do you think it's not natural?
Sounding? No, I think it is natural. I think it is natural for the group because there isn't much they need to say to each other.
Yeah.
You know, how much can you say?
It's basically, I'm going to go find some water. Okay.
No, and but also like, you can't give up or don't bring the whole group down. But they get their point across very shortly.
Yeah.
Short and sweet.
So let's get into the analysis, I guess, of this episode. And then
meat of the show.
Yeah. And then after we'll take some Facebook comments and read them on the air.
All right. So we opened up with Maggie looking really haggard. She looked really down. Like, she looked low. I don't know what it was, the makeup or the dirt on her face or something, but she looked like she was about to like kill herself. At first, I thought she was pooping.
Pooping in the bushes.
Yeah.
Well, when they zoomed up on her eyes, because we didn't know, we couldn't tell who it was.
Yeah, we thought it was Sasha.
And then we started zooming out, and then somebody said, is it Gabriel? We thought it was a black person.
I know.
It's like one of the black characters, it must be. But it turned out to be Maggie.
Uh-huh. And it's probably all the dirt on her face.
Yeah.
And then she looked like she was trying to take a moment to really process what's going on, you know? Like she's grieving, really. And then a walker comes up. Who do you think, Dad? I really think this episode belongs to Sasha, Maggie, and Daryl. More Maggie and Sasha. Because
all three.
Yeah.
They show basically it's showing the journey of all those three characters.
In their mourning
of the death of the people they knew. Because everybody else really were just...
I mean, they know how to deal through... It's like these people were close to the people that they lost. Those mm-hmm. are the most people who are the closest. So you kind of need to see that. And not everyone can deal with the death. It's just those three especially are suffering. And I liked that. I liked this episode because it covers that. So hopefully we won't see it for the rest of the season. You know, just dedicate an episode to this. But it was really nice. Really well done, I think. I like these slow episodes. People don't like these slow episodes, but I think we need them. You know, it keeps the episode fresh.
Well, so when they show Maggie crying, you notice she was crying on her hand. She wipes her tears. And then she drank her tears.
Yeah. Ultimate survivalist.
You have to drink your tears. Don't waste any liquids, you know?
Exactly.
And then Walker came up.
Yep, and she had to take it out.
And almost like she took it out, like it was
a reflex. It was like a reflex now.
It's like a matter of fact, like, oh well, okay, let me get this bug off my...
Yeah, and then she just sit back down
and cried.
And her hair was up this time. I think this is the first time we've seen her hair up.
Ooh, style choice.
Yeah. She's actually wearing a new outfit too. Oh, yeah? With a white shirt. She wore a tank all of season four.
Oh. Remember?
Yes, I noticed these things.
And then we see Daryl. What's Daryl doing?
He's digging stuff. I don't know what he's digging for, but he found a worm. I guess that's what he was looking for, and he ate it.
Do you think he actually ate it?
I actually think he ate it.
A real worm.
I think so. I mean, it doesn't seem unlikely.
You think the real...
I think he's Norman like a method actor, you know?
You think Norman Reedus would actually eat a worm just to be in character?
Yeah. I wouldn't, personally.
You'd have to ask him that question next time we see him.
Oh, yeah, like, you know, in passing, you know, whenever, you know.
Hey, did you really eat that worm?
Oh, yeah.
Really, Dad?
Oh, yeah.
I don't understand half the things people say in this show.
You have to put captions on.
He didn't find anything. He found a worm.
Yeah, and then Sasha, we see Sasha walking down a ravine, or was it not a ravine, like a stream?
A dried up riverbed.
Yeah, and there's just dead frogs everywhere, which makes me feel like they're in a drought. Wherever they are is in a drought.
Well, yeah.
Are they in Virginia right now?
Probably. They're close because they said like 60 miles or something.
So what's 60 miles away from Washington?
I don't know. You want me to bring up the Google Maps again?
Yeah.
So it looks like Richmond, Virginia is 100 miles away from Washington.
Mm-hmm.
So halfway, like 50 miles or so is halfway between Richmond and Washington.
And they can take one strip of freeway.
Yeah.
They would have to cross a bridge over water, right? Because it looks like on the map. Oh, no. Maybe not.
No, it doesn't look like there's any bridges.
Well, we're going to pass some water. Can you estimate?
We have to realize that they're not really filming on site at the actual location.
Oh, yes, of course, Dad. I know that.
The filming crew is still in Atlanta area.
I know that, Dad. Jeez. But if they wanted to be like artistically correct, you know, geographically correct, they could add some water next to the stuff.
Yeah.
I'm sure they could CGI that or find some body of water, Dad. Okay. Jeez. So, yeah, by driving, technically, it would take 2 hours, 2.5 hours.
It's actually a river, the Potomac.
So if they're realistically...
We're learning geography here with The Walking Dead now. We're learning about
our country.
U.S. geography.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on. So there's a dried riverbed. Sasha is like, the heck? She looks angry. She says to them, no, there's no water here. She does her naughty thing. And she goes back to the group and then...
What was the thing with the frogs? What do you think her reaction to them was?
She's like, oh, there was water here, but it's dried up.
You think that's what it was?
Yeah. She wasn't like, ugh, frogs. I thought she was going to pick them up and eat them.
Yeah, but they were dead for a while, so they might be rotten and stuff.
Yeah.
You
thought they were she was burying them? No, she was digging the thing to see if there's any water underneath the dirt.
My interpretation of that was that she couldn't stand seeing dead bodies unburied.
Really? That was your interpretation?
Because the frogs represented human beings, like not walkers, like dead people, like her brother.
Right? I did not see that. I think you're.
And so she was kicking the dirt to like cover it up, like bury them. Because, you know, they have to bury people that are not walkers.
That's
right?
True. I mean, that looks seems reasonable, but I think that's reading too much into symbolism with that. I think she was just trying to dig for some
Jasmine,
water.
Everything in this episode is a symbol.
Oh my gosh.
What do the trees symbolize?
Anything could be a symbol if you want it to be dead. Honestly, everything, if you think it's a symbol, then it probably is.
Just like the dead bug that was kind of stuck. Actually, it wasn't a dead bug. It was
a cocoon of a bug or something?
It was the skin, dead skin of a metamorphosized bug.
You notice, there was a lot of dead things lying around. Like Daryl especially kept looking at dead walkers.
Dead deer,
you know? And I think that all symbolizes we're not them. At least we're not them.
Yeah.
You know? We are the walking dead. Dun, 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 dun.
And then they're walking.
Yeah, but they go back to the group and Maggie's like, they didn't find anything. Sasha's like, how do you know? She's like, just look at their face. You can just tell. They don't look happy.
They weren't happy.
Yeah. And she's like, how much time we've got? She says, well, we've got 60 miles, so we know where they are. Mm-hmm. We know how far they are.
Yeah.
But also, it's like, no, how much do we got, you know, before we pass out and die?
Yeah. How much more energy do we have? That type of thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing.
Yeah. And then they start moving again and their car breaks down. Well, it doesn't break down, but it just runs out of gas.
Well, is this the part where Rick is carrying the baby and then he's talking to Daryl?
Well, the car breaks down first and then they're walking and then yeah.
Oh. And then
Judith is so cute. I don't know how they're keeping that baby alive.
Oh, it's a miracle. Miracle of television.
True.
Because I mean I've said it before and I'll say it again, that baby should not be alive based on where the food's coming from. Like, a baby is not the same as a full-grown human. Like, a full-grown human with water can last for, like, a week or two without food.
Yeah.
Mainly because you have so much, you're just so much body mass. Like, you're big and you have stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But a baby is nothing. It's like a little thing.
And it's constantly still growing.
Yeah. Look how chubby Judith is. Which, I mean, is not really, I mean, it's a baby.
What, they're going to ask me, you're going to need to lose weight for the role?
It's a real baby, obviously, so they're not going to find, like, a dying baby. You know, all babies are healthy, but, well, you can't do anything about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's, honestly, it's fine. I think it's fine. I mean...
So we're supposed to just accept it.
Just accept it.
Right?
Why do you want everything to die, Dad? The baby's alive. It gives us hope. Just let them have that. Jeez. It adds depth. And just a bunch of adults walking around. So boring.
Yeah. Well, it did bring hope to Maggie. Remember in one scene where she woke up and she saw Judith staring at her?
Yeah, that was so cute.
Yeah. So that was a tender moment where, like, hey, the baby gives me hope. Like, it's nice to wake up to see, oh, there's a baby. It's not like all death and everything, right?
Exactly. It's a source of hope that is just there in the background.
Mm-hmm. Miraculously staying alive. So, then...
Yeah, and then...
Daryl says, you know, she's hungry, man. And then
she says,
like,
she'll be okay.
She'll be fine.
Like, she's okay. She just told me she's fine. Yeah, but... Yeah, and then also, Carl looks so much older now.
Yeah, he's getting taller.
He's getting up there. And he's so nice. He gives Maggie, like, a music box, you know?
And in the Talking Dead, Maggie character...
Lauren Cohen
said that box symbolized, like, Beth because mm-hmm. it looked like Beth, the ballerina.
Something that Beth would have too.
Yeah. But unfortunately, it's broken. It doesn't make music. And we finally.
And when Daryl fixes it, it's meaning hope is coming back and they've grieved. The grieving period is over. Like, the elf come to accept it.
Yeah, right.
You know? Because, first of all, Daryl fixes the music box, gives it to Maggie.
Mm-hmm.
Maggie goes to Sasha and says, hey, let's go for a walk, and plays the music box.
But it almost worked, but it didn't.
Until Aaron showed up, then he started playing.
Spoiler alert. Mm-hmm. Aaron, the guy who shows up at the very end, And then suddenly the music plays.
Which sounds creepy at first, but maybe it's a sign that, hey, you can trust them.
Of hope.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, we've come out
of... Because if that represents Beth, maybe Beth's trying to talk
We've
to
come
them.
Out of the worst.
Yeah.
And there's hope ahead.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they've hit the lowest point. The only place you can go is up now.
Mm.
You know what I mean? That saying, I feel like that's really relevant. Like, once you hit rock bottom, the only way to go is up.
So what did you think of that conversation between Maggie and the... Gabriel, yeah.
I thought it was very well warranted. I really liked it because, one, Maggie is not religious anymore. And it's really inappropriate for Gabriel to say, hey, if you need to talk, come talk to me. Because what are we in, like, 2015? No, we can't hire therapists. You know, like, there's no confessions. No, Gabriel, you are not a pastor. What is he? He's a pastor, right? Or a priest?
Priest. But the thing is...
He's not that anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and she said that. You're like, you were supposed to help your flock, right? Yeah, well, you didn't. So stop trying to act like you're still one with God, because you obviously have some sins that yourself to work out.
Right. It was like it was basically calling him a hypocrite, basically, yeah. Saying that, you know, he was kind of like doing his duty, like, hey, you know, I'm here if you want to talk about. And she said specifically, oh, my father was religious. See, she said that my father was religious.
Oh, that's why it's past tense.
Yeah. I was just thinking that maybe she said it because, like, he was religious and now he's not religious anymore.
No, he was always religious, even till his death.
Not really. I mean, kind of. He was, but...
Not in the same way as he was at the farm.
There was a few episodes where he was, like, doubting his beliefs, remember?
But he always came back, and he didn't do anything drastic where it was like, yeah,
no, he didn't denounce God or anything, but I'm just saying, like, he really had a lot of doubts. You know, the part...
I mean,
remember when he got, like... Because he was alcoholic, and then he got off.
Yeah.
And then he went into that bar to go drink his life away in that famous scene, the shootout.
Yeah.
But so he had some rough moments where he had his major doubts about what he was believing in.
But that's besides the point. The point is that he was religious. Like, he still believed in God. He still carried the Bible around. He didn't.
That's true.
He was losing his faith, but it wasn't like Gabriel. You can't compare it to Gabriel.
No. And also Maggie.
He's so much more honorable.
And also Maggie kind of, you know.
She said, yeah, I was religious too, but based off everything she's been through, she doesn't believe in him anymore. She doesn't believe that, you know, just like she's lost hope. It was just accenting that.
Yeah, I think it was, I mean, Gabriel, like, they saved him. They saved him and, you know, they know what he did.
They just haven't, I don't know why he's still around.
Well, he has nowhere to go. He has nowhere to go. And he's not really...
Causing any problems,
but he could be a liability.
He could help if, you know.
He is a kind of a liability because he's not really good at killing walkers. Right? Because when they were in that scene where they're at the bridge trying to kill the walkers, like, half of the group stood back.
Basically, yeah, the weak people.
The weak people, yeah. The weak, which was, I think it was
Carl. Oh, weaker. I mean, less
Carl,
strong.
Carl has no choice because he has to take care of Judith, but...
Was Carol?
Carl is not really that weak. I mean, he's
no, he's
strong.
Not. He's not.
But you know, Eugene, Gabriel, and I think Carol stayed back as well.
I don't know. There's three on each side. There's only 13 in the group, so six of them went forward.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah.
So
it must have been when we got the shot where they're all like
walking.
Yeah, and you said oh yeah, there's too many people. You got to kill some people off.
They don't fit on the screen.
They've killed two people already, Dad. How much do you want?
The good thing they're filming in widescreen because, you know, they wouldn't be able to fit everybody on the screen.
Yeah.
Sasha.
It must have been hard to get everybody in that shot, though.
Sasha and...
Michonne.
Yeah. Have a little bit of a tiff or a discussion.
Because Michonne is now this person who is, you know, the moral center of the group, taking that responsibility on.
Jeez. The moral baton gets passed to everybody now.
I know. But you notice how every moral center has a different kind of moral goal to talk about, you know? Mm. Like, hers is, like, about living, actually trying to live.
Yeah.
So she said, because she was like, you know, we can take these walkers, because there's a trail of walkers following them now.
That's what Sasha says.
And Michelle's like, no, that's what your brother said, too. This is the same thing your brother was going through, how to deal with his anger, you know? Just kill walkers and put himself in danger.
And she took offense, like,
it's like,
no,
we're not the same.
I'm not the same as him. Like, she's trying to pretend, I don't know if she's pretending, but she's claiming that she's this different, completely different person from her, but which she kind of is, really.
She is in some ways, and she isn't in some ways. She is in some, like me and Alexander, we're different, but we are kind of the same. That's just something, because we're related. We have no choice. There are going to be some things that are the same. And the way you deal with pain or the way they're dealing with their anger is almost, it's kind of the same. Like, who cares if you guys are the same in some ways? Yeah, the more important parts, you're different, which is good. But yeah, why are you being ashamed of being the same in another way?
No, because she doesn't like the fact that Tyrese couldn't kill walkers confidently and couldn't, to the point where he got himself killed. He was wandering off staring at photos on the wall, for crying out loud. He had these internal things, which I think got him killed. But
Sean was saying that it's still the same. Like, you're, it's still the same. Like,
yeah.
And you know what I mean? Kind of understand what I'm saying?
Well, Michonne, I think, was saying that, yeah, I know you guys are not the same, but, you know, you don't go off and go kill walkers on your own. You can't do it. Come on. Regardless, you know, that's stupid.
And she looks so angry. I was pissed off at Sasha this whole episode. I was like, girl, get over yourself. Like, you're putting everybody in danger. Yes, you can grieve, but can you grieve safely like Daryl and Maggie? Why do you have to be like such a pain in the butt?
Yeah, can't you just like smoke a cigarette and
burn? Yeah, why can't you just internalize it?
And burn your hand with the cigarette?
Gosh, causing so many problems.
Whatever that was. What's up with Daryl like leaving the group every now and then?
It's his way of dealing.
Yeah.
You know, he has to get some distance. You know, he has to deal. He likes being alone. And when he's dealing with these things, you know, just like when he was looking for Clementine.
Mm-hmm.
Was it Clementine? No. Sophia.
Clementine.
I got them mixed up.
You're confusing the storylines here.
They're both little girls. Yeah. The same thing with Sophia. You know, he kept going off, you know.
Yeah.
Trying to. But that's how he was in this episode. He's just trying to. It's his way of mourning.
And yeah, like he kind of knows the flow of the walking. Like he knows like when the group's going to stop, and he kind of goes off and comes back and meets them every now and then.
Yeah.
I think that's good though, what he did in general, because you always need someone to be on the lookout and find things that
path. Yeah, exactly. If he didn't do that, they would have never found the barn.
Yeah. So I think it's useful.
Mm-hmm. And it's not too dangerous.
But now that we know about Aaron, apparently it wasn't enough, because it sounds like, I feel like Aaron was following them.
Oh, yeah. How else would they get the water to them?
What do you think?
Yeah, I think definitely. How else would they know who the person is in the group? Rick, leader. How else would they know where they were going to end up to put the water, you know? And so, of course.
Yeah. So he kind of went ahead and put like the water in the middle of the road so that they would walk and see it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is weird. That's a lot of questions for that Aaron guy.
Yeah, and Carol said, hey, can I come with you, Daryl? And he's like, okay, no. And then she said, well, you're going to stop me, you know? And she's like, okay, fine. And she basically said that, you know, you will get over it. You will pull through. You'll bounce back. You know, you just need to find time to do that. And we had a nice tender moment where Carol like kissed Daryl's, he's like, kiss his forehead. He's like, all right, bye.
It's enough to say. Yeah, brushes his hair away, which I'm sure a lot of our viewers, all of the TV show viewers, like, oh, I wish I was there brushing Daryl's hair away and kissing him on the forehead. Oh my gosh. But no, it's Carol. Too bad for you.
Too bad. So sad. But yeah, it was, I really like that because it's what he needed to hear.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah, exactly. I mean, Daryl told her that, you know, we're not dead. So Carol's like throwing the words back at him. It's like, hey, you said that we're not dead.
So hey, why gotta be so? Why has it gotta be mean?
That's what you said.
Yeah.
And then so they decided all of a sudden that, hey, you know, these walkers have been following us for too long.
Yeah, and they said they found an opportunity where there's a deep ravine they can just put the walkers in, and with the way they deal with it, you could really tell that they're low in energy. They're really they're suffering. Mm-hmm. They're really taking blows. And so even when the way they were just dodging, they were just barely dealing with the walkers, just moving side to side to take them out, which I thought was really cool. That was my favorite scene. I really liked it. It was so cool seeing all of them deal with it. And of course, Miss Sasha Fierce needs to be all attitude-y and be like, I need to take my anger out these walkers for doing these things to my brother. And takes a stab at a walker, breaks formation, and Rick's like, okay, flank her, keep it in order. And she screws up the whole plan. And even Abraham's like, oh man, the plan's dicked. That was fun. That was funny.
And to the point where Abraham got cut.
She cut him. Like, she was taking out a walker and didn't look where she was putting it on her hand. I didn't even
notice it the first time. We had to play it back. But yeah, Sasha actually cut Abraham's arm.
Yeah, when he was taking another walker, he just looked at her and then went back.
Like, okay. And then, yeah, so Sasha goes crazy and...
And on top of that, Rick almost got bit. You saw that?
Yeah.
I just about almost died.
And as always, Daryl saves him.
By ripping a skull, the scalp of somebody.
You freaked out a little bit when that...
I did. You saw me. I was like, what?
Is this the moment where we lose Rick? Or he loses his arm because they'll chop his arm off.
Oh my God. I've been so angry. Yeah. But it was her fault. Solely her fault. Their plan was working and then they wasted energy.
Yeah.
They're too tired to deal with all these walkers.
And you notice that the Rick's response, like you said, you know, flank her and stuff was, I noticed that he's like, I don't want to deal with this. Like, I don't care what's going on between Sasha and Michonne and all, like, blah, 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 you know, this stuff. Like, let's just get this job done. Do what we got to do. Like, basically kind of minimizing the damage, right? It's like, yeah, okay, it's she like screwed just, up. Let's just
let's
keep
take,
moving.
Let's take stuff and, like...
Let's keep moving forward.
Yeah, let's change it up and, you know, adapt. Because you have to adapt. You can't pause and say... Hold up, pause, freeze. What is your issue, girl? You need to calm down. Blah, blah, blah. No, it's like, you just got to deal with it.
Okay, let's regroup. Let's let's start from the top.
Exactly. You know, you can't do that. You got to adapt and you got to keep moving. Like, so what? Okay, the plan didn't work the first time. Just got to adapt to keep moving. And that's what's Rick's job. Rick's job is to really just keep the group moving, to keep them moving forward. Like, I remember we watched something. He's like, it's like a soldier.
Yeah, I think he... I know we in the previous episodes we said, oh, it's more of a community, like a democracy, like a community. Everyone makes decisions,
mm-hmm.
but it seems like it's coming back to slowly becoming like a Rick kind of.
It's not though, because everybody agrees with him. They're all he's
right.
Just
a, I mean, it's definitely
he really is just a leader.
It's definitely not a dictatorship. I mean, there's definitely feedback from the group, and he's not making decisions on his own. But still, he appears to be kind of the leader person.
Well, yeah, he's always going to be the leader. That's just how he is.
Yeah.
Everybody naturally just trusts him. It's kind of like...
I think someone just has to, you know?
Yeah, you have to have someone just to rally everybody together.
I don't think anything would get done if you didn't have a leader.
No one would come to a decision.
Yeah. It'd be like stalemate. Like, hey, what do we do now? I mean, Glenn is kind of that guy.
But he's not there yet.
Yeah, I mean, but I don't think he wants to. I don't know.
That's just not who he is anyway.
He just wants to shove water down people's throats.
Yeah. No, he's just
drink the
like,
water. Drink it. You must drink
water.
He's
a very strong member of the group, and he just understands, is very quick to understand and to get with the program. So I feel like he's a reinforcer, really.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I don't get with people and their egos. Like, no, I don't want water.
I'm
not going to take the water. Like,
that's the number one reason why people die in the desert. Like, yeah. They still have water in their canteens. It's because they're too stubborn.
They're saving it. For what? I mean, if you pee, you just drink your pee.
Ew.
That's what Bear Grylls did.
Yes, but we are not Bear Grylls.
So we were fans of Bear Grylls.
You could tell we were survivalists from the day one. We were just looking for a show like this.
We were like looking like, okay, what would Bear Grylls do?
Yeah.
Bear Grylls from the show, what was it called?
Man vs. Wild?
Oh yeah, Man vs. Wild.
Mm-hmm.
He was awesome because, I mean, some of it was staged, but I mean, he actually ate those things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he would actually eat worms. He would actually eat bugs.
Yeah, and he would do that. He would actually drink his pee and stuff because, one, it made good TV, and that's really what you would do in a real life.
But, yeah, I mean, if it's fresh, it's fine.
Oh, my God.
Fresh pee is the best.
Fresh is the best.
So, so that kind of went nowhere, that plan. But at least, you know, they killed the walkers, so at least something came out of it. It didn't totally... backfire on them. Thank God.
Yeah. So again, we talked about the symbolism with the dead things and how Daryl goes off on his own and sees all these dead things. And when he comes back, what I also notice is like they don't really need to talk. They just shake their head no, like no, I didn't find anything or no, nothing.
Well, you're
out.
Wasting energy by talking, really.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And they already know.
What's the point?
Mm-hmm. And then we have dogs come out of the forest out of nowhere.
Is this the part?
Yeah, this is the part.
Oh, no,
we did. We skipped the car part where they walked up to the cars.
Because I'm not sure because I wasn't taking very good notes. So I know you take very good notes, and I'm kind of like, oh, I forgot to take notes. Because I get, when the second time I watch, I get so engrossed in the show. Like, I'm like, oh, I'm just staring at the show like, oh, that's cool. And then it's like, oh, I forgot. I should have taken notes.
I just always take notes because I just think and I write That's just how it works.
This is weird. You're watching the show and your arm is like taking notes. Like
that's how I do in school. That's how I take lectures.
How are you writing without looking down?
It's a.
So they find the car. They come across a bunch of cars. The first thing I think is, oh, good, gas, cars.
But they're thinking of supplies.
They can start driving.
And again, we see a little bit more of Maggie's how she's dealing with everything because she goes to the car. She goes to the trunk. And she finds a kid. It's a kidnapped person, wasn't it? Before she died?
Okay, some people call it a kidnapping, but I don't call it that.
What do you think it is?
Well, I think it was just a person who...
Was turning
into a walker, and they didn't want to get rid of... They didn't know what to do, so they put him in the trunk.
But why would you put that someone that you love in the trunk?
Well, you don't want him in the car because they're going to bite you. Right.
Still, but it looked like a very bad position.
You're thinking that it could be something bad went down and this happened to be a kidnapping. And
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like a crime in process.
And they just died in the trunk.
A crime in progress.
Mm-hmm.
Could be.
I think it was. And that's why it affected Maggie so much because she's like, she closed the trunk. It's like, okay, move on. But then she's like, oh, no, I just leave it there. I need to put it out of its misery.
Yeah. Lauren Cohen on The Talking Dead said that it kind of reminded her of. Like, the whole scene was kind of like, oh, what she did to Beth. It was like she forgot her, and she just closed the trunk on Beth, and then it's like, oh,
forgot hope on about her.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then came back and said, oh, no, I got to do something about it, and then tried to open the trunk again.
Yeah, and then
kinda
this
like
time...
Kind of like what she did with Maggie was, like, you know, forgot about her, thought she was dead.
Beth,
and then,
yeah.
Beth, yeah. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. And then Glenn's like, okay, let me help you out, and the good husband and says, because Maggie was about to shoot the lock. On the trunk, which is like a waste of ammo and too loud.
Yeah, that was crazy.
So good thing he was there and he opened it and they took her out. They took the walker out and, you know. Then we get to the part where the dogs come in. But then also that we talked right before that Abraham apparently the only thing they found was booze in that whole car thing. And Tara's like, don't you know that it's bad for him? And then Rosita's like, yep, he knows. And then Eugene is like, well, yeah, he's a grown man. He can deal with it.
And then, you know, it's like, and everybody's like, oh, I don't know how it can get any worse. And then, you know, they say, oh, yeah, it can get worse. And then just as they say that, it gets worse.
Yeah. A pack of dogs come in. They still have their collars and everything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. At first, I thought it belonged to a group. I'm like, oh, are these the wolves?
Yeah, because we saw that marking that said wolves.
Mm-hmm. But no, it was just a pack of wolves and everybody was going for their knives and stuff. But then Sasha's like, screw that and just kill them all.
Yeah. Sasha just wanted to kill something anyway. She's so angry.
She was taking out her anger.
Yeah, it's like, screw you. Take that for killing Tyrese.
And now they have food.
However, somebody wasn't eating. Not everybody was eating.
Noah, which is like super stupid because it's like, yo, we need food. Get over it. I don't know why everyone gets so worked up about killing pets like dogs because they didn't show the dogs actually getting shot. Maybe they couldn't, you know, realistically, but yeah.
What do you think? Well, it's human nature, Jasmine, to kind of like think of pets as something that obviously you don't eat. Well, you think of pets almost as human sometimes.
Yet we're killing humans with no real like caring at all. I think it's because pets haven't done anything to you.
We can kill humans, no problem, left and right. But when it comes to animals and pets, no.
I think it's because pets, they don't do anything to you. And they're treated more like, oh, a companionship. Mm-hmm. Like, they'll always be loyal. Like, they have, like, that's just how they are. So when you kill a dog, it's like, well, the dog is helpless in that case. Like, it's never done anything
wrong. Well, I like the fact that they were in a pack. It wasn't just, like, one dog showed up. It was, like, a pack of them.
So they know they were hunting.
Well, yeah, it kind of tells a little bit of story there of, you know, hey, you know, if pets all of a sudden, dogs all of a sudden are leashed on their own, they have to...
Yeah, no matter how domesticated they were...
Yeah, they get into a pack and they start roaming for food, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which you'd think there'd be more of that. But I'm glad they showed it at least once in the show.
Yeah, it gives it more vibrancy.
Vibrancy?
Okay, it makes the show more vibrant.
Realistic.
It makes everything less dull where they're just walking and they deal with just walkers, you know? There's other things out there too.
Yeah, I think having roaming dogs is something that'd be common a lot actually happening. So Noah wasn't eating and he was saying, you know, they were pets and stuff. And notice while they were eating that Father Gabriel threw his collar in the fire.
Mm-hmm. And that actually affected Maggie because she was actually looking at that like, oh, wow. You know, like, oh, this means something to him. I guess he really just gave up his faith.
Yeah. Do you think that it was like, well, Maggie kind of felt bad? Do you think?
I think so.
Maybe she caused him to do that.
Uh huh. I think she feels bad
that she talked to him.
It's just another thing for her to start, you know, working through her grief and working through her issues.
Yeah.
She sees that and she's like, oh, okay, wow. Yeah. You know, and that helps get her through it.
It was interesting how he threw the collar down and then he started eating the dog. Like, enough with this, you know, being all, you know, proper and pious. And
exactly.
I'm going to start eating dog because, mm-hmm. hey, I'm hungry.
Exactly. And then also Noah's like, you know, I don't think I'm going to make it. And then to Sasha, which is the worst person you could talk to about that then, because Sasha's like, then you won't. That sounds like harsh to say.
Sounds like something I would say.
It is something you would say. Oh my gosh. It's like, oh, this is too hard. It's like, okay, then don't do it.
Exactly. Okay, don't do it and die. See ya.
Exactly. That's something exactly what you would say.
I don't know. I'm just not, you know, like, I just don't have this. I'm more logic when I think logically a lot of the times, and that's maybe to a fault, maybe. But I always put a lot of logic into it and say, okay.
Yeah, Daddy, you don't love your family. That's what logic.
I don't. you have no choice. You got to do this or you die, or you do this or this bad thing happens, or, you know,
whatever. Or this just what you want to happen doesn't happen.
So no point in whining and, you know, thinking and pondering, and because that's the human nature, is like, it's all in our head, really.
Yeah.
It's all a mental game that we play. And you just have to understand that and just change. Because whatever makes us not do something can also make us do that something.
Exactly, exactly.
It's equal parts.
Which is like a life lesson right there.
And
then they're walking again after this. Because we have Maggie talking about Beth to Glenn. Because Glenn's like offering them water.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, okay, then. He's like, okay, then talk to me. He says, well, she kind of explains herself as to why she really didn't feel anything for Beth when she was gone. It's because
this is the important moment, okay? This is what everyone's been waiting for. Like, why wasn't Maggie upset before?
It's because she already thought she accepted that she was dead already.
Mm.
And then when they found out that she was alive, that's when she started believing again. And then the same day found out that she's dead.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like, what the heck? And it really tore her apart to have that hope, to like lose that hope, gain it
instantly.
And then, yeah, and then lose it again.
So fast.
Mm-hmm.
And now she feels like she shouldn't be hoping anymore.
Yeah, and she says, I don't want to fight anymore.
Yeah.
And that's when Glenn's like, yo, we've worked so hard to stay alive, and you do want to survive. That you're just going through stuff, which is normal. You know, it's just like, but you do want to survive. And I'm just like, what about, she wants to kill herself. What about Glenn? What are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
As your husband, you know? And
well, obviously, Glenn is going to push her along. And I mean, she doesn't, I mean, if he's there to help her out of it too.
Yeah. And she seemed like she was nodding her head. So it seemed like she was also believing what he was saying, you know. I don't think she will kill herself, but I feel like she's very close to getting that feeling, which is understandable because you've lost everything.
Yeah.
You know? And then we go to Sasha, where Abraham offered her a drink. And she says, no, you're making it worse, you know. And he says, actually, I think you're the one that's making us worse. Which I love, because that's exactly spot on. And she looks so angry. And then he's like, you know, you're with friends. And then she's like, we're not friends. What does that even mean? Just him in particular? Or just everybody?
The fact that she says we're not friends, I think, is because her and Abraham never really connected. Or he's basically just some... They never had a
history. Some dude with a pipe dream.
Never had a history, really. Yeah. So I don't think it's the whole group. I think it's just him, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it shows where Sasha is mentally. Like, you know,
she's so negative right now, and she wants to take out her anger on anybody.
Yeah.
And everything. She's so against everyone. And
and Glenn says to Daryl as they're walking along, "We can make it together only if we're together, right?"
Exactly. And we see that when they're, you know, closing the barn door.
And just as he says that, Daryl goes off again.
Exactly. But he goes off, and this time he actually deals with Beth's death, I think, because he starts to cry and he burns himself with a cigarette. Which, can you explain to me why he did that?
I think I did. I wasn't sure until I saw the video that we just watched, which talks with some of the actors were talking about things.
Okay.
Because he said a lot. Norman Reedus said that, you know, he has this shell and he wants to break that shell. And I think by burning himself, he wants to kind of feel, break the shell and kind of feel pain, like feel something.
Oh, okay. Because
he's been kind of...
That makes sense.
And I think by burning himself, he was... But also, I think that that was something that his father did to him, like abused him.
Yeah.
Because I don't think... When they showed his hand, I think it was been burned before.
Yeah, that spot, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it's like the first time he's done that. And I don't know if it was his father who did it to him to abuse him, or he did it to himself before, like just self-mutilation.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of a thing, right? Where people do that to themselves.
Oh, yeah, it's a thing.
Well, like
it's in.
Like they cut themselves or they burn themselves and stuff.
Yeah, they hurt themselves. They make themselves suffer.
Yeah.
To feel something.
Yeah.
They do it to feel something without actually hurting other people.
Yeah. And after he did that, then he started crying. So that let him feel, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. That was a
way. A trigger for him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he saw the barn, but he didn't go into the barn, which we see later helps.
And then we walk, and when he gets back, we see that the water has been placed there. 2 whole gallons and then water bottles, which is like amazing amount of water. Who carries that much? Which makes me think that maybe this Aaron guy has a car and he's going back and forth. There's no way he could carry all that.
No, he has a car vehicle.
Yeah. And, you know, no one wants to drink it, which is smart, but just also stupid because then I was thinking, like, you know what? To test this water, have one person do it. And I'm like, Eugene's perfect. Nobody freaking likes him because he, you know, he owes everybody. And I'm like, he was actually going to go do it. He's like, quality assurance. And then Abraham knocks it out of his hand. Hilarious, by the way.
We played that like 5 times.
I know. It's so funny.
I hope somebody makes an animated GIF out of that.
I know.
Or like, what happens when this, boom. What would be the
I know, exactly. You could do so many things with it. And then I'm like, why did Abraham knock it out of his hand? Because why he should be the last person that would do that because, you know, because Eugene lied to him. Maybe, and I'm thinking that maybe he's just used to protecting him.
Yeah, could be.
Because that's the only reason why I would see that he would actually be the one to do that.
Well, because what Eugene did was kind of stupid, and I think anybody... Because, yeah, I mean, we're all there in a group just talking and, you know, go up and do that. I mean, I don't know, man. I think it's because...
I don't even think Abraham realized that he actually did that.
Maybe out of reflex.
Mm-hmm.
And also, even though they had some of their fights and stuff, they still really... Nobody wants to kill anybody. Like, nobody wants someone else's ill will.
Yeah, because they understand that, oh, well, you did it just to survive.
Yeah, I mean... We're all still care. I mean, not care, but...
We still have each other's backs to the end.
When it comes down to life and death, you want to save that person's life, even though you hate their guts. You still, you know, you won't let them die.
Yeah.
That's
just how the group is, you know? You have each other's backs, even though you might be separated.
And then irony, not irony Singleton, but just irony, strikes. And even though they said, oh, they have water and we can't drink it.
Voila, rain.
Then it starts raining.
And everybody's happy except the three, which just outlines our point.
Everybody was happy except
Sasha, Maggie, and Daryl.
Typical.
that just proves our point that the show was about them.
Yeah, everybody was laughing except them.
Even Rick cracked a smile. I saw that.
Ooh.
You know.
And then Father Gabriel said, "Oh,
I'm sorry, Lord.
I'm sorry. Why would he say that?
Obvious, because he just as he gave up on God, God shows a sign that there is hope."
Right.
And then maybe you could also be saying, I'm sorry, but I'm still not. I'm sorry, though.
Yeah, just as he was, like, he threw his collar in the fire. It's like, I don't know.
You're not there for us. You've left us.
I don't know if he said that, but it felt like saying, oh, to hell with you, you know.
Yeah.
To God.
Yeah.
To hell with you, God.
And then this happens.
Yeah, and then the rain comes down, which is kind of ironic.
But then it turns quickly into a problem because now there's a big storm coming because it keeps thundering. So they said, "Where's shelter?" Daryl's like, "In the barn." They
go to the barn. How convenient.
Of course it's convenient, Dad. You want survivors to die.
It's a TV show.
And then, so they're in the barn. They're talking. And this is when... This is important. This is an important scene because...
It figures as Maggie goes into the barn, she sees a holy Bible.
Yeah.
See, that's what I'm saying. And this everything is like in your face. Oh, a Bible. Okay, here. There you go.
Symbolism. Yeah. But especially with the scene where Maggie's looking into one of the barn stalls and she sees a woman that's a walker. And Carol says, Carol comes up and Maggie's like, she had a gun. She could have killed herself. And then Carol said, I guess there's just still some people that just don't give up.
And then just like us.
Uh-huh. Hint, hint.
See what I mean? Like, so...
In your face.
Yeah. Like the lines and the whole, like you could basically, you know, see it a mile away.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So basically that happens and Sasha, and then it's nighttime and Sasha's by herself and she's looking at Abraham drink the last drop. And I'm thinking she probably wishes she had a drink. She drank some of that. She took his offer.
Oh, yeah?
I think so. Maybe. I don't know.
And then they're sitting around the fire telling ghost stories.
Yeah, sure. Okay. They're living the ghost stories.
Yeah, they are in a ghost story, actually.
But yeah, she talks, Rick talks to about Carl. Because Carol's like, oh, he'll bounce back. Kids always bounce back mm-hmm. easier than we do. And Rick's like talking about how, yeah, he will bounce back because I think kids have it easier now. Why? Kids have it easier than we do because they're growing up into it, meaning they're getting used to it.
What do you think about that idea?
I think it's I really 100% agree with him because adults, it's harder to get used to it because you can't teach old dog new tricks kind of thing. It's harder to adapt to the changing world, especially when you've lived in the previous world for so long. Kids, they're still growing. They're still adapting. Their minds are super moldable, you know, and they're easy to adapt. And so he's adapting and growing just like any other kid would.
So I'm old and you can't teach me new tricks.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Like it's easier for them because that's, again, kind of all they know. It's sad, but that's kind of all they know. But with adults, it's like it's harder because you're set in your ways. Your brain isn't as growing as much as a kid would.
Yeah, especially. Yeah, Carl really grew up a lot. But I mean, if you think, I mean, in TV time, it's probably like 2 years or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's like 3 years, 3 or 4 years.
I think it's 2 years.
In the show.
Yeah.
In the show. It's like 3 years.
I think it's two.
It's three.
It's two.
Look it up, Dad.
I don't know. Where can we look this up? But in reality, in real life, it's more like 4 years, isn't it? Or 3 years.
Yeah.
Three or four. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, Carl was like
like 11.
Kid, a little kid.
When he started. Yeah. Now he's like 15.
But Michonne comes in and says, no, this isn't
life. This isn't how life should be.
This isn't the proper world. Mm-hmm. What is the proper world? I don't know.
Yeah.
This isn't it. Whatever this is, it's not it. This is not the right thing. So I guess what she means is that we're always struggling. We have to go find that what the right thing is.
This right now isn't living, but Rick is saying that, yeah, no, it isn't living now, but we gotta be dead first to actually live. And this is where we have our clip
we're going to talk about. Audio clip for this.
When I was a kid, I asked my grandpa once if he ever killed any Germans in the war. He wouldn't answer. He said that was grown-up stuff, so... So I asked if the Germans ever tried to kill him. But he got real quiet. He said he was dead the minute he stepped into enemy territory. Every day he woke up, told himself, rest in peace, now get up and go to war. And then after a few years of pretending he was dead, he made it out alive. And that's the trick of it, I think. We do what we need to do, and then we get to live. But no matter what we find in D.C., I know we'll be okay. Because this is how we survive. We tell ourselves that we are the Walking Dead.
Them.
not them. Hey. Why not? Lay down.
Yeah, and then Daryl says,
"We ain't dead."
That was perfect.
We ain't dead. We ain't dead.
Yeah, he's basically saying we aren't them. You know, we're not the Walking Dead. We're not those dead people.
Yeah, we're not those dead people, but we have to pretend pretend that we're dead.
Mm-hmm. To get through it, because that's the only way you're going to get through it. Because if you're like not doing that, then you're always going to be like, oh, where's my hope? But no, you just got to suck it up. You got to turn off your emotions and just do what you have to do to get through it. Mm-hmm. You know, you really got to do what you need to do in order to live.
Yeah. And this line he says, you know, we are the Walking Dead, is actually from the comic book. In our trivia section, it's for those that are interested, is issue 24 of the comic series. We haven't read it. So we don't know for sure.
Yeah, but that's cool. This is my secret. I was like, ooh, because it's like the title, ooh, The Walking Dead.
What does that mean?
The Walking Dead is the title of the show.
Oh, right.
Of the whole show.
Yeah, because they're telling.
That's, now we know what it means. The Walking Dead. They are The Walking Dead.
Well, I kind of thought that too. I kind of knew that.
I know, but now we know it's affirmed. It's confirmed.
Well, I didn't know. I just, you know, was saying, yeah, you know, we are The Walking Dead. That's what that meant. But now it's, like you said, confirmed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the fact that Daryl said, no, that's not us, is actually a good sign, because that shows that Daryl has hope.
Yeah, and he's determined to stay alive and to work. And
One thing, as I was listening to Rick say that story, was coming to my head was, like, if you think of it like the writers who wrote that, I mean, this is like they just came out of this story out of the blue. I just admire the writing in this show. Yeah,
because it's...
Because it sounds so believable.
It's probably something that somebody has thought in the past, you know?
Yeah.
When they're going through the war. It's
probably Robert Kirkman. I think that's... Because if it's taken from the comic, then they probably lifted this... I don't know if they lifted the story of, like, the World War II story.
What he's saying.
Yeah. But that we are the Walking Dead, I know that's Robert Kirkman's lines, but I'm not sure if the story about World War II came from the comic, but it's a good story anyway, and I really liked it.
Mm-hmm.
because this is also the first time that Rick tells something of his past.
Yeah,
because we haven't really hasn't really done that before.
He never did one, which means he's probably in a really good place right now. He really is being that person who's like a soldier and rallying his troops. That story, if that story doesn't say that, then I don't know what will, but that is really, he's giving this group hope, you know? And he's saying, well, we just got to deal with it. We just got to go through life. We just got to go through this as if we're dead. And so we can deal with the pain and whatever is coming at us so that we can fight for a future where we can live. We can actually live. There's no possible way we can do that now. There's no possible way without actually wanting to kill yourself because you can't find it. Mm-hmm. You're not going to find it until you actually get to your destination. And even if there isn't anything in Washington, then that's, he knows, is, we know that that's going to be their last stop for them and their best bet.
Yeah. And he was pretty confident. He says, you know, whatever we find in Washington, I know we're going to be fine.
Yeah.
Right. Which is good. So it gives us hope. So it is a hopeful. At the end of the day, this is a hopeful episode, right? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, everything, like the whole episode is coming, came to a close, to a climax from this next scene, right?
Mm-hmm. Because then it was just basically showing them that, yes, we are reunited. We are united and we are doing the struggle.
Describe the scene.
Because when Daryl's doing his like storming little thing, he realizes, oh my gosh, there's walkers outside the barn and the storm is going to blow the doors in. So he starts holding down the door. And then one by one, everybody else in the group also tries and goes to the door to try to keep it closed.
You said you cried at that scene.
I cried a little bit inside. Oh, like inside. I didn't actually cry, but I felt I was this close to crying.
Why?
Because I thought it was so emotional because it really is. They're showing their battle is symbolism and like a metaphor for their uphill battle. All of them are struggling. All of them are working, but all of them working together really, you know, is the only way they're going to survive. And I felt bad for them because they're working so hard to stay alive. This is literally a form, the real literal version of them fighting to stay alive. You know, they're fighting the winds, the storms of, you know, the apocalypse, and they're just trying to stay alive. And even to the point where Carl even puts Judith down to keep the doors closed.
I don't know about that though.
What
should he put? I was like afraid that a walker would come through a window or something and just take Judith.
Nobody there, so they already just sweeped through it.
Okay.
It's a desperate attempt.
Like leaving a baby on the ground, it seems like such a bad thing.
It shows how desperate that moment is. You know, they need everybody.
Yeah,
you need everybody, and even if it means to put your hope aside for a second just to get through the.
Oh. Hope, which is Judith.
You should have just named Judith Hope.
Yeah, Hope.
I guess that's too cliche.
Yeah. So yeah, they're all pushing against the door, and yeah. So basically, it's saying yeah, we're united. We're all working together. This is what we got to do, and this is how we get through it, is united. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of another symbolism there, where even though Daryl, Maggie, and Sasha were kind of mourning and they were off doing their own thing and they were upset, other people had their problems. You know, at the end of the day, they all came together.
And they all worked together. They all have each other's backs.
Worked together, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then after, in the morning, we realized it was a tornado that went through them.
Yeah.
Because after Maggie and Sasha go out on their own, they see...
It was a zombie-nado.
Like a shark-nado.
Yeah.
All those walkers were impaled by trees and stuff. There was some even in the trees. It was great. And I loved that scene. It was great.
If this was Z Nation, then they would actually show the zombies in the tornado.
Yeah,
spinning around.
That's true.
But this is not Z Nation, so.
Which, by the way, we haven't actually continued watching that. We haven't.
We have all the recordings. We haven't finished watching it. But they just showed the aftermath. My favorite effect was where they had the walker impaled on a tree at the top of a tree.
That was cool.
Like a piñata or something.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're basically saying, wow, it just missed us.
Yeah.
It's like, it could have hit us. It should have hit us.
And, but
it's like,
and Maggie said, but it didn't.
But it didn't, which is also another thing saying, I have hope. It didn't. That means that's a sign. And really, if that's not a sign.
Everything is a sign.
I don't know what it is.
This episode is just full of signs.
Awesome.
They should call it The Sign. But yeah, it was full of that. It was full of it.
Yeah. And
so they
before Maggie leaves with Sasha, though, we talked about how they gave the gearbox, or they gave the
music, gearbox.
Well, they gave the music box, and Daryl said, "Oh, the gearbox had some grit in it," and he's like, "Oh, okay."
Well, oh, you're talking about this, yeah, the small little scene before. Mm-hmm. Well, basically, the line was Daryl said he was a tough guy.
Tyrese was a tough guy.
Yeah, Tyrese.
And Beth is too, even though she didn't know it. You know,
he said she was too, and I said, "Ooh, Sasha," and I'm thinking, "Oh, okay, Beth."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she was tough too, you know, but she didn't know it, but she was.
She was tough too.
Yeah, and that was basically... Oh my gosh. It was basic. That scene just basically said all three of those characters have, you know, they've worked through it and they've gotten hope again. They're not as depressed as they were before.
Yay, everything is good in the world.
And then Sasha, and then Maggie's like, let's go see a sunrise. And then Sasha's like, okay. And then they sit there and they're like, oh, let's play the music box. Oh, it doesn't work. How convenient. And then our recording got cut off, so we don't know what happened right after that.
Oh, we do know.
But we know that Aaron showed up. We don't know how.
Okay, we saw it. Well, the one thing that was important there was Sasha was saying, like, that, what did she say?
Maggie said, we're going to be okay.
But Sasha was talking about Noah.
Oh, yeah. Noah's saying how he's like, he didn't know if he was going to make it. And she says, that's how I feel too. Mm. And then Maggie's like, no, we're going to make it. You're going to make it. We are all going to make it. You know, so, and I like this line here. It says, it's the hard part is knowing that you're going to make it. Because it's easy to mourn and to feel pity for yourself and to be negative. The hard part is knowing that you're going to make it, because that's just how they are.
Mm-hmm.
That's the hard part.
Yeah, that you're going to keep going, and that you're alive, and you have to, you know, deal with it.
Exactly. And I really like that line.
Well, the fact that Maggie admitted that she kind of agreed with Noah is interesting, because you couldn't tell.
Because I feel like she did feel a little bit of pity when he's like, after she said that, like, oh, then you will, because then she says, but you just got to not think about it and just eat. You just can't think about it. So that was her kind of like, oh, well, maybe that was a little too harsh. Yeah.
Well, what I'm saying is that it didn't appear that Sasha was afraid of anything. But the fact that she sat down with Maggie and then confessed that, you know what, I am scared. I don't know.
It was hidden all behind all the anger.
Yeah, it was masked. You know what, I am afraid and I am wondering if I'm going to make it, you know?
Yeah.
And then this guy comes up.
He says, hey, I'm a friend. I know, stranger danger. Who says that anymore? Stranger danger.
Don't point your guns. I know, stranger danger. Like, dude.
What the heck? And he's like so like, he's clean shaven. He has his Macy's catalog outfit going on there.
he's super clean, which is suspicious.
Suspicious in a good way, meaning that he does come from a place that it looks clean, that has...
Well, think about the bottles of water that he left were super clean. Like, there was not even a speck of mud on there.
Yeah.
Like, it's like you just got it from a shopping store, like a grocery store.
Exactly.
The sign that he wrote, the paper was pristine. It was clean paper. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like a piece of cardboard or whatever.
I know, with a marker and everything.
With a nice marker. Like, everything looked
Who knows? Maybe he typed it up. Comic Sans or something.
But I'm just saying that everything appeared on the surface to be coming from a place where technology and things exist and everything is okay, honky-dory, and everything is A-okay. Mm-hmm. And he's clean, so he has running water and, you know, he has nice clean clothes. So what do you think of this guy? We don't know who he is, obviously, but...
Honestly,
do you think
based off of everything that we've seen...
Is good or bad?
That he is a good guy. Because they can't give us... Here are my points. First, ding! You can't have a whole bunch of bad guys one after another and not trust anybody. Because the show's that become predictable. We just had cannibals, okay? We just had a guy that looked trustworthy, but then really wasn't, okay? We can't have another one of those. I mean, I'm automatically going to think, oh yeah, there's another one, but I'm also not going to be surprised if he doesn't turn out to be bad. Mm-hmm. Two, based off the previews, spoiler alert, if you don't like watching previews of the next episode or hearing about spoilers of anything, just skip ahead a couple seconds. Two, in the preview, he showed us pictures.
He has pictures of something.
Yeah, two.
We don't know what they are.
Well, yes, we do know what they are. Okay,
people are not supposed to know that.
Okay, so yeah.
So
there's other things that I cannot talk about.
Rewind. So in the preview that showed after the end of the episode, we saw that they captured him and they were asking him questions like, you know, how many people are out there? He didn't really answer. But they showed some scenes where Rick was going through his backpack and saw some photos. Maybe it's the photos of where he came from, right?
Yeah.
We don't know for sure. Potentially, it could be a place where obviously things are, like, for example, in Atlanta at the hospital, right?
Yeah.
Things were pretty clean. They had nice clothes and everything. Mm-hmm. The police officers.
You know, it's not...
So it doesn't take much to have that cleanliness, right?
Exactly. So it's not impossible that there is another compound out there.
Right.
It makes sense. I'm just saying I'm not going to be surprised if it's okay.
Please. But I like your idea that he's a good guy because it kind of makes sense for the writing to be the opposite of what you expect.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay, we had the governor, we had the cannibals, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. You know, it's bad people, we get it. Mm-hmm. You know,
exactly.
You know, you think they're good, but they're going to be bad.
Exactly.
So they're probably going to do a twist and say, no, this time they actually are good, but it might be something else going on.
Yeah, there might be something else that we don't know that's going to happen.
So
there's definitely not, they're not definitely not going to go to paradise without some hardship. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So I can't wait for the next episode because I want to see what this guy is all about.
I love meeting new characters. It's so refreshing.
So do you think he's good looking or no? I don't know.
It's too soon to tell. Is he another Andrew J. West?
That's your judge of characters. Like, well, if they're hot, then, you know.
Hey, that's a little shallow, Dad.
Really? So let's read some of our comments from our listeners. And by the way, I love, you know, the passion that all the people have on
the Facebook and the time page. They take to talk to each other and get this stuff out there. Because we love it.
People are chatting with each other on Facebook and responding to the comments, and that's pretty awesome. So Joe Juden says, funny how Michonne was the most unhinged and aloof member of the group. I don't know if unhinged is the right word, but maybe hinged. Unhinged is when you go crazy, right?
Well, she was like a loner, you know, for a long time.
Now she seems like the most level-headed. Yeah, I kind of agree.
Doesn't, yeah, It's weird how opposite she is now. You know, yeah. She's the one trying to keep the group together. One before she was just a stranger of the group.
Well, because she went through her period of
We've seen her go through her.
She went through her craziness. So mm-hmm. yeah. Sasha thought about taking her, but hesitation killed her confidence. Really like seeing Sasha's edginess in contrast to Maggie's despair. Carl has to know you can't leave the baby unattended. See, I told you, you can't leave the baby on the floor.
And then Rosalinda Mendez says.
Responding.
In response, says Sasha can't step to Michonne. She's a machine and so gorgeous in this episode, even when she's miserable. And can I say how mad I am at Sasha for losing, for almost getting Rick bit? Thank you. What was that crap? Listen, I know she's going through a hard time. She lost her boyfriend and her brother in a few weeks, and that's rough. But she needs to pull her head out of her beep and start acting right, because she's almost made those kids lose their father. So true, Rosalinda. We are one. I agree. 100%.
Yes. That was pretty bad.
Well said.
And Anthony Williamson says, finally, a twist of the story. No cliffhangers for a while. So I've been kind of disappointed with the shows. Now I'm wondering, how does this Aaron guy know about Rick?
Again, I think he's just been watching them.
I think he's following them.
Yeah. I also think he has one of those things. You know how like in the Olympics, how they record the sound of the runners or something, of the ice, and they have that big microphone looking tube looking thing that mm-hmm. records sound. I think that's what you had to hear them.
So he thinks he has a super powerful microphone.
I'm kidding, but yeah.
records people. Rosalinda Mendez responds, I think he's a scout from a nearby community. Oh, I think so too. smart, really. Send a small party to scope out whoever is coming onto your turf and see what kind of people they are. If they pass the test, you invite them in and get stronger with their numbers. If they seem like the wrong sort of people, you have advance warning to up your defenses. It sounds like something our group would do if they had the numbers. Well,
you said that so angry.
Our group is also beat up and tired and hungry, but they should have done stuff like that too, right?
Well, that's if they have a camp.
Yeah.
And well, they did go out on scouts.
That's what Daryl does. That's Daryl's job. He screwed up. It's Daryl's fault. He should have spotted him. I mean, he's a super tracker.
You know, you already know he was just going out to weep.
Yeah, but so Daryl didn't see him or didn't notice because he wasn't on his A game. He was depressed because of Beth.
Mm.
So if Daryl was on his A game, he would have known all about Aaron. That's exactly all I'm talking about. That's all I'm saying.
Can I just say Aaron is a really weird name to spell out? There's two A's.
There's two A's in Aaron?
A-A-R-O-N.
Some people say it has one A.
I feel when I read that, I feel like it's Aaron.
With one A, it feels like Aaron. Rye Candry says, it was slow, but a couple great scenes. Loved seeing Aaron at the end, or Aaron.
See, now you're saying
now
it.
Now you made me say Aaron. this guy is a great actor. If you guys haven't seen his impression, guys, work. Check it out on YouTube. He does impressions of Kevin Spacey, Brad Pitt. Oh, really? Oh,
wow.
We should look him up.
A comedian. How funny.
Okay, so we Googled this actor who plays Aaron. His name is Ross Marquand.
Marquand.
And he has some good YouTube videos.
His impressions.
One is he has a bunch of impressions, which is pretty good. And we have his photo here. So what do you think, Jasmine?
I need to see him act. he's an attractive looking fellow. Not my type, though.
No.
No. Maybe. I don't know. He'll grow on me, maybe.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what he says, what he does in the next episode. That'll be, we'll judge him based on that.
Yeah, I'll make or break.
Yeah, so that's where some of our comments on Facebook. And it seems like people were kind of in agreement with us. Like, yeah, it's a slow episode. There wasn't a lot of things going on. But it kind of reminded me of some of the earlier episodes where there was a lot of character development, a lot of discussion.
Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong, but this one was good. There's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah.
Honestly.
I like it in that it tells a story.
Yeah.
It's coherent.
It really does.
It's coherent.
It makes sense. There's nothing there that's put there for no reason.
Yeah, everything had a purpose.
It gets to the point.
Yeah, and it basically shows the journey of our three main characters that were affected by the deaths that happened in the previous episodes.
Yeah, pretty much.
But it seems like starting from the next episode, based on what the preview we saw,
mm-hmm.
It gets really exciting.
Well, yeah, they left us on a cliffhanger, and now we're going to see who this Aaron guy is and what his deal is. And I think it's just another step towards Washington, probably.
Yeah, and in the preview, we hear Rick saying, "It's a trap."
I don't believe any of the voiceovers in the previews anymore based on when we did that breakdown of that one preview.
Yeah.
And it was totally opposite from anything we thought it was.
So the previews are probably the opposite of what actually
is. But what happening. We see, you can't change its meaning. Mm. But what we hear.
We didn't see much, though, really.
Saw everything.
But yeah. So looking forward to the next episode?
I'm really looking forward to it. I don't even have any predictions because I already know what's going to happen. They're going to go to Washington. That guy's going to be a good guy. But there is going to be some...
Oh, really? You think that guy's a good guy?
Yeah, but the group is not going to realize that until much later. They're going to have to put him through a lot of trials and tribulations before they start trusting him.
Oh, you think they're going to put him through hell?
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of hell, I don't know.
What, school tomorrow? Yeah.
You got to go to school, young girl. Get to bed. Brush your teeth. I don't know why, speaking of hell, I have to segue somehow. There's, you went on another audition.
That wasn't hell.
That was fun, wasn't it?
Yes, it was fun. I talked about my UCLA one, right?
Yeah, we talked about the UCLA audition last time.
Yeah, this one was the AMDA one, which is a conservatory that just does music, theater, like theater music and theater and then dance. And it's my second out of three. And this one was a lot smaller and it wasn't less organized. It was just since there was so much more, the guy said it too, their sister was so much more people. There was just two of them. And the other guy was the auditioner who actually was a graduate, an alumni of the school, mm-hmm. who has been in the Spider-Man play on Broadway.
Yeah. So we had to drive up to Sacramento to do this.
Yeah. But he was there and that was pretty cool. He was my auditioner and he was very polite. Very nice. It was a good experience. I got to talk a lot more with the people I was auditioning with because there was only like six of us doing acting. Everybody else was there for musical theater and dance. And I learned so much from those people, like what their theater programs are like at their schools and how similar they are to mine.
You mean the high schools?
Mm-hmm. And to what, and how, I lost my train of thought now.
Sorry.
God dang it.
I always do that. I interrupt you.
Sorry. It was, yeah, I just learned about their point of view and, oh, the other colleges they go to. I met another person who was also at the UCLA audition. So I was like, oh, I recognize you. And that was pretty cool.
Yeah. So you had the conversations with other people who are auditioning, right?
Yeah.
One person we spoke to, one girl that she said that, oh, she just came to the audition as kind of a backup plan
for her marketing or whatever and major.
She's actually majoring in marketing?
Something like that.
Some business school and... this was kind of a secondary choice or even just for fun to practice auditioning.
I mean, see, everybody has their own reason. It's just that it's weird because it's like, she loves acting, you know, she does her theater plays and everything. And she even wanted to apply to UCLA cause it's her dream school, but she's just too scared to do it, which makes me really sad because it's like, well if you really love to do it, then
she said she didn't apply because she was scared.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what's the worst that can happen? They could say no.
Yeah.
You're afraid to
If you be... just want to go for the experience, that's a number one school. You should go for the experience because that was amazing.
Yeah. And we were talking after that about how, you know, it's good that you've made a decision at this point in your life. I mean, you're only 18. I say only, but you're like, I am 18. Wow, I'm so grown up. But for me, looking at you, it's like, well, you're just 18. Like, you have... years and years ahead of
me. I know, but this is the first year that I have, this is the first year of my years and years and years, of real years and years and years. You know what I mean? It's an important milestone that I think everybody should address. I don't think anybody should belittle it or make it, you know, low because, oh, you're 18, you're still a kid. But yes, that is very true. But for me, it's a big step. It's an important step in my life because it's going to pretty much, all my foundation has been set. And where I go from here is just based off of everything I've learned in my previous life. Before that, you know what I mean? So well, I'm still going to make mistakes. I'm still going to probably change my mind five times. I just, now I have an idea of where I want to go.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I was going to compliment you. I was going to say, yes, even though you're at this stage, it's nice to know that where you are and then feel confident in your decision based on the information you have and how you feel inside about your goals in life. You know, you're confident. And that's good to be in. It's a good position to be in because you can focus all your energy onto the thing that you're most confident in.
Exactly.
Right? Because if you have like three different choices, then you're splitting up your resources and yourself in three different ways.
Exactly. And it's not, that's exactly why I, because I originally wanted to do biology and astronomy and then like minor in theater.
You wanted to be an astrobiologist.
Yeah, I wanted to be an astrobiologist.
Which is amazing because it's really out there. It's so interesting.
Yeah, I love it. It's taking my two favorite subjects.
Studying biology on other planets.
Yeah, which is amazing.
Can't go there, but maybe you can one day.
Yeah, who knows? You know, Mars, exactly. Mars. I think it'll be a booming thing once we get to know that we're going to get to Mars.
Once we can get to Mars, I think it'll be pretty awesome.
But I wanted to do that because I love science and I wanted to do theater as a minor because it's like, I still love theater. I can maybe do it as a hobby. But then I realized I can't do both and be successful or emotionally, mentally gratified, you know? And I realized after I took my AP bio class that I hate the work that goes into doing those things. And I said, that work isn't worth it for me.
Even though you did really, you got a good grade in it though.
Yeah, but I know I can do it, but did I like it? No. But see, when I work hard for plays, I love it and it doesn't feel like work. So I said, well, if it doesn't feel like work, then I should definitely go this path.
Yeah, that's a good sign if you what you're doing is, you feel good about doing it.
And yeah, I'd rather do it than doing anything else.
Yeah, that's a good sign. Mm-hmm. And as a parent, you know, my job is to expose you to different things, and which is kind of why I pushed you a little bit to do into the sciences. And and just because you get into theater, I know deep down you still love science and you still love that stuff. Because I know you're always curious about the world.
Yeah.
And the fact that you read National Geographic is a sign. Mm-hmm. I don't know a lot of kids that read National Geographic, but, you know...
And who knows, maybe I can dabble into some science when maybe I can, if I become successful in my acting career, I can like donate money to foundations that, you know, teach kids about science or,
well, yeah, you know, or you can go to
research.
You can still volunteer in different programs that help kids get into the sciences.
Exactly. Right? You know,
But also, you know,
I still want to become a student of science. I still want to become a learner. I still want to learn. I want to have a lot of friends who are science majors so I can just live through them.
Yeah, and it's just fascinating. Just for me, I just love learning about, you know, other planets and stuff and the possibility of life. And
it makes me want to cry every time I look at a book full of stars and stuff and galaxies because it's like the world is, the universe is so big and there's so much we don't know about what's going on out there that we can't even see. You know, because like, you know how there's like different, like an ultraviolet light and everything. It's like, you can't even see half the stuff that is out there.
Yeah, because we don't have the visual capability.
Exactly. And our and the universe isn't catered to us, mm-hmm. you know?
Well, it's not catered to our eyes.
Exactly.
Yeah. We
see such a small spectrum of light.
Yeah. We see things that we were evolved to see through, you know, because we have to see a squirrel moving so we can eat it, right? We don't have to see like the invisible light waves. But yeah. I'm proud that you've been able to crystallize your goals and able to, and that helps now because now we focus on the schools that you want and you audition for them and then you can get in. Mm-hmm.
And that you've even said that we shouldn't just accept any school that gives, like, you know, that we get handed to. I think when we get accepted to, when I get accepted to schools, we should look at which one will be fit for me.
Yeah.
Because the schools I apply to are very, they're all in theater, but they all have different programs catering to different kinds of needs and wants in a program that you,
for yeah, theater. Like some schools have programs that have some academic portion.
Yeah, like which, UCLA has a lot of academic with it. It's a hybrid kind of thing where you can get your BA and BFA. And then AMDA has three parts of the arts. You know, music, theater, and...
they have a conservatory's degree, which is, you know...
Yeah.
Just acting or theater or drama. Oh, I mean, or dancing.
Yeah, and then AADA is just strictly acting.
Yeah.
So, a lot of decisions.
But one decision is for sure that it's going to be somewhere in L.A.
Yep, I'm moving to L.A. Well, we've come to the end of our show. Thank you all for listening. If you liked what you hear, please subscribe to us on iTunes and give us a review. We appreciate any feedback you might have. You can also send email feedback to talkback@thewalkingdeadgirl.com. And as always, this is Jasmine.
And I'm Michael.
Stay alive.